Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the astrology chart for January 1st, 2021 at midnight Eastern Standard Time in Hampton, New Hampshire, as a mental image to reveal the divine creation. Listen as we discuss how to use what is visible and tangible to uncover what is invisible and intangible. In this show, we will be focusing on the divine image in order to gain the spiritual understanding behind the physical appearance. Stop thinking and start knowing. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to live before thought and above corporeal sense. Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Year 2021 Possibilities. So what do you think we have for possibilities in the upcoming year?
Well, I'm really kind of hoping that we start to grasp a better understanding of what we've been talking about here is living out from the divine idea, this divine creation, which is perfect, but doesn't report in our corporeal senses, is right here, right now, and it's readily available to us if we are conscious of it. And we also make our inner environment a hospitable place for it to express itself through us?
Well, I see we are looking now at the actual astrology chart for 2021. Why don't we start breaking that down?
I think before I delve into the astrology chart, I'd just like to go over some of the ideas that we've been working with here. Say, for example, what we're trying to do here is use what is visible and tangible to help us understand the divine idea, the divine creation, which is behind the physical appearance. And so, just like we have been doing in our asana classes, recognizing that the physical body is a mental image. And the more divinely mental we understand ourselves to be, the more harmonious and indestructible the image appears. What we're learning to do is use what is visible and tangible to help us understand how we're thinking. There are modes of thinking. And if we can attune the mind-body complex to the divine idea, we're doing it in order to gain the spiritual understanding behind the physical appearance. So for 2021, we're looking at turning from the lower to the most high. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 124. The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood. But when explained, on the basis of physical sense and represented as subject to growth, maturity, and decay, the universe, like man, is and must continue to be an enigma. Now, without getting too caught up in the transits, I want to just take a little time here to look at astrology from a spiritual sense. Because the makeup of astrology, we have what's called personal planets, the planets that are visible to the human eye. We have transpersonal planets, those planets which are invisible to the human eye. And then we have the fixed stars, which are unmoving but visible to the human eye. In this model, what we're really going to start to focus on is the fixed stars, because they are a physical appearance that will help us understand the divine idea, because the divine idea is the changeless state of being. And so using the appearance of this universe and the backdrop of the zodiac, we can start to get a sense that spirit is the greater sense of life, which is invisible and intangible to the corporeal senses, but the only true power in this universe. In a similar way, just the way that we use our physical body to give us clues as to how we're thinking by the appearance of the physical body, the shape, the composition, the condition of the body, how the segments of the body line up, the range of motion we have at the articulations. We're looking for pain, discomfort, instability, lack or limitation on a physical level, because we know that the physical form is our thought about what it is that we think the divine idea is. Because the constant here, the changeless state of being, spirit, is perfect. It's whole, it's complete. And what is appearing, whether it be on a personal level or even on a universal level, is just thought about the divine idea. So we can use the movement of the planets. We can use the variables that are tangible to us in order for us to start to get a sense for this changeless state of being.
So I'd like to dig a little deeper on that quote that you had from Mary Baker Eddy, especially the first line where she says, "The universe, like man, is to be interpreted by science from its divine principle, God, and then it can be understood." So what exactly is she saying there, and what is it that maybe we're not doing quite right?
Well, what she means by science is she's talking about divine mind, the absolute, the wholeness of the universe, this one divine life. And it must be perceived as whole. Now, we're accustomed to working with things on a relative basis. We're accustomed to dealing with corporeal sense, which is really just a divided sense of the whole picture. In order for something to manifest, materialize, it has to split from unity, manifest in half, and then leave behind the complementary, unmanifested other part. And so what we're perceiving is really just an approximation. More and more we're learning is it's really just a thought. The divine creation is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled, it's unchanging, it's perfect. But what we're calling life is just human thought about that divine creation, and it's under a completely different set of rules. It runs under the law of karma. It is a belief in two powers. And so here we're starting to learn that if we can see things from the divine idea, if we can pierce through the corporeal sense and we can rise above those limitations, we could start to see what was called the truth of being, the real creation, life as it truly is, as opposed to what we think it might be. And so that's what she means when she says science.
So how do we take the astrology chart for 2021 and interpret it using the science that she's talking about?
Yeah, she's talking about spiritual perception, to understand things spiritually as opposed to corporeal sense. She's talking about seeing it in its entirety as opposed to relative. A belief in one power, one life, one universe, as opposed to a belief in many, two powers, opposites. Now, just as the way, say, for example, we would go about approaching our lives looking at the physical form, we go to a doctor and the doctor examines the body. We have a belief that life is in the body. And then, of course, we come out and we study astrology from that material basis, that we think that there is power in the planets, that the planets are doing something. Now, for us to graduate from that to a spiritual sense, what we have to understand is that you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So in other words, like the physical body, physical appearances have a purpose. And they are primarily here for us to know how we're thinking. Typically, in astrology, they would use where the planets were, and then they set up a cookbook kind of interpretation of what that would represent. And we'll go over some of the transits that appear in this particular chart. But we really want to establish a sense that the transits don't have any power. The only power they will have is the power that we believe that they have. But from that perspective, we're still working from a level of thought and belief. And like we said in the opening, we want to stop thinking and we want to start knowing. And what we want to know is we want to know the truth, which is that life is perfect, that life is spiritual. It's not material, it's not corporeal. That what we are calling life, what is reporting in our five senses, is just a thought about what life really is, that life exists on a bigger level and it's eternal right here and right now. We have to be conscious of that in order to activate it in our experience. And so we use transits and progressions, we use pain, discomfort, instability, lack, or limitation in our physical form to help us understand how am I thinking? Because that's where we really want to put most of our attention, is in changing how we're thinking. To the extent that we actually stop thinking and we start knowing this truth, we start knowing that life is perfect, that we are not a finite mortal creature.
I know we've talked about before that what we sense and see around us is a manifestation of how we think. Is that also true when we're looking at any of the astrological charts?
Well, I think the astrological chart, or the universe as we're perceiving it, is more of what we would refer to as the higher mind, the collective consciousness, world mind, as opposed to what we call the lower mind or the mid mind, which is more personal. This is more of, like we said, just like there are planets that are of a transpersonal nature, the collective consciousness has the same dynamic in that it is beyond personal sense. And this is what we're learning, is how to come out of these modes of mortal thought, which is our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our corporeal senses, that we want to graduate to thinking with divine mind. And divine mind thinks in terms of the absolute. So there's no contrast, there's no conflict in spirit. Spirit is whole and it's complete, and there's only one power there. But it's of the utmost importance that we graduate to that level of understanding of ourselves. We stop thinking about this concept of God, and we start living out from this secret place of the Most High.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga.
This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, why don't we take the time now and actually delve into the astrological chart for 2021?
The chart that we're using, as like we said, is from Hampton, New Hampshire at midnight. In that chart, you've got Libra rising. And coming back to what we're talking about here, that could be a good indicator of giving us the opposite view from what was referred to as the natural zodiac, which has Aries rising. The theme maybe for this upcoming year is to give ourselves this half a turn, turning from the lower to the most high. Thinking differently would be another way to interpret that. Starting to think with divine mind. Divine knowing, as opposed to forming thoughts and opinions based on corporeal sense. With Libra rising, Venus is the ruler of the chart, and it's found in the third house, which is the lower mind. It's in the sign Sagittarius, which can be referred to as the higher mind, giving us a stronger indication of about changing how we're thinking, or at least knowing how we're thinking. The sun is in the third house in Capricorn, which is the sign for the collective purpose. Again, the third house is the house of the lower mind, so it would give us an emphasis on working on how we're thinking. In the chart, we have a 10th house moon in Leo, and it is opposing the fourth house Saturn and Jupiter, which are in Aquarius, plus its square, the seventh house retrograde Uranus. The moon being the symbol for manifestation, being in opposition to Saturn, which is the other planet for manifestation, are in opposition. Now that's a cooperate or separate aspect, but they are in full view of each other. And so understanding matter for what it really is could be a very important lesson for this upcoming year. We're saying that the physical body is a mental image, and we're accustomed to thinking that it is solid, that it is a real thing. But in truth, it's just a thought about what's here. And as all of this starts to dawn on us collectively, it will make it a whole lot easier for us to start to find solution to a lot of the problems that we're struggling with today, because we're approaching our lives without the benefit of this divine idea. We're disconnected from the divine creation, and we're trying to make sense out of the shadow of existence, which is a false sense. And while we're busy trying to figure out how the unreal became real, we're letting this truth of being, this eternal existence, pass us by. And so these could be some of the things that we might want to work on, and especially with that moon opposition Saturn conjunct Jupiter, square to Uranus, which is in the seventh house, and Uranus is a transpersonal planet. Uranus really is going to bring in new insights. and help us maybe understand again how we're thinking or how we're not thinking and how we can start to perceive things differently, but from a much greater vantage point. When you understand yourself spiritually as opposed to believing that you are a finite mortal being with limitations, with an expiration date, you struggle and strive to try and protect this, which it's going to expire. It's not real. It's not there. And so we shift our awareness to this part that does work. And one of the things that I really found to be quite helpful for what we're trying to do is Neptune is in the sixth house, which is in the natural zodiac. The sixth house would be the house of the midmind, which is human intelligence. But Neptune being in Pisces in the sixth house here can really give us a better understanding of divine mind and how it works, and even how Pisces represents that divine mind. Recently, I heard this lecture by Herb Fitch, and he was talking about the divine creation and the whole thing of the waters above and the waters below. And he interpreted that to mean not necessarily water, but metaphysically as time. We start to understand the fish navigates through water. And so Pisces is symbolized by the two fish swimming in two different directions. So it is really the symbol that lets us understand that concept of the firmament, which divides the waters below from the waters above. And the fish is what is enabled to navigate through, not necessarily the water here, but metaphorically, time. To be able to understand time is a human concept, and to be able to navigate through time is what divine mind gives us that capability. And Pisces is the symbol for divine mind. And for us to understand how to rise above our mode of thinking that we have accepted to get us through this lifetime, and to start to understand ourselves from this spiritual sense of reality as opposed to corporeal material sense.
Swami, I wasn't sure if I caught this or not, but what does a seventh house represent when you were talking about Uranus?
Yeah, the seventh house is the house of relationship. It's that whole thing of the other. What surrounds us is within us, and the mirror effect of what is surrounding us.
So I have another question. When we're looking at the chart for the year, would you advise us to maybe look at our own individual charts and see how they correlate with the chart for the year?
Well, that's something that we can start to do astrologically. It gives you a little bit more of an element of timing for when things may be called upon or brought into your field of awareness based on departments in your life. But here we're just trying to work with a very generic formula. How we think is what we become, but one of the main things that we want to start to understand are these modes of thinking. There's the lower mind, which is instinct, appetite, preservation, survival, fear that we talked about in other shows. We're learning that that's a defense mechanism for a false sense of existence. The midmind, which is human intelligence, our ability to use our corporeal senses. But are we using them correctly? Shouldn't we be really using them to see how we can find a better use of mind rather than just to manage what is appearing before us, which we're starting to find is observation dependent? It is my thought about what's here. So rather than being the victim that everything is happening to, we're learning how to be the creator. But you can't do it on a personal level. And then we're learning the whole thing of the higher mind, before we would get off at the higher mind and think that that was where we wanted to be. But that's the collective consciousness. It's the world mind, and it's still an imitation because it is working on corporeal sense. It's working on a belief in two powers, duality. But divine mind is the absolute, and that's represented by Pisces.
Well, I see in our notes that we want to talk about the Isha Upanishad, and hoping that maybe you could explain what that is and why you think that's important to talk about that during this show for today.
Well, the Upanishads are the knowing books of the Vedas. And one of the things that we started to say in the opening was stop thinking, start knowing. Start knowing the truth. We chant the Isha Upanishad every Sunday. And so we read it every week. And there's so much wisdom in it, and it's very applicable. And this one little section that I will read, the self is one. Unmoving, it moves swifter than thought. The senses do not overtake it, for always it goes before. Remaining still, it outstrips all that run. Without the self, there is no life. To the ignorant, the self appears to move, yet it moves not. From the ignorant, it is far distant, yet it is near. It is within all, and it is without all. He who sees all beings in the self and the self in all beings hates none. To the illumined soul, the self is all. For him who sees everywhere oneness, how can there be delusion or grief? The self is everywhere. Bright is he, bodiless, without scar of imperfection, without bone, without flesh, pure, untouched by evil. The seer, the thinker, the one who is above all the self-existent. He it is that has established perfect order among objects and beings from beginningless time. That would be the end of the quote. Here we're really trying to get our head around the idea of the divine mind, the one life. And when you have that as your foundation, and you realize that you are an expression of this self-existent one power of this universe, like we said when we started, the more divinely mental your understanding of yourself is, that will have a very profound effect on what is appearing in your corporeal senses.
I know we've been working with a lot of the messages in this particular Upanishad, especially he who sees all beings in the self and the self in all beings hates none. And it was recognizing that God is everywhere and in everything.
Right. And isn't that the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Isn't that namaste? I bow to the divinity within. Isn't that the second Christian commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. The more that we start to see that there is but one life, and then you come out of that belief in the many. Because for us to stop thinking, we really have to understand that this divine idea is before thought. And isn't that what is said in the Upanishad? Always goes before. Remaining still, it outstrips all that run.
And what's interesting is the next line after the one I quoted, it says, to the illumined soul, the self is all. So to me, I think that's the key right there, is you have to have this illumination, this revelation for this to be true.
Right. And Mary Baker Eddy also makes a very clear distinction in Science and Health, where she says, when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within, he's talking about the children of God. He's talking about, like you said, people that have accepted spiritual identity. Not the ones that are still stuck in this mortal belief, this dream of Adam that they talk about.
Well, we do have to start closing down the show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com, and once you're there on the homepage and you see the fading banner and it says Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget, by clicking the products tab and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available to you. So with that, Swami, do you have any other thoughts for today's program?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a happy new year for 2021 and to live before thought and above corporeal sense. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.